Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21 called Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes.
You could sit before the Lord and weep, but if you don't change anything after you cry before the Lord, if you get up and go right back in the same direction that brought you to those tears, you haven't changed a thing. And I would say, well, weeping can be healthy. It can be cleansing. It can help you get some stuff off your chest. But I hope you get up walking straighter than when you sat down. That's what really matters for Israel right now. And I will tell you, having read multiple commentators on this scene, there's a high level of doubt as to what the motivation is of Israel right now. Why their tears? Some commentators believe that there's some genuine repentance going on, and others believe that what Israel is actually doing is expressing regret and blaming God. They're sorry for what's occurred, and that sorrow has brought some tears, but they're blaming God instead of taking ownership for themselves. Have you ever seen someone cry, but you know the reason that they were crying is because they got caught, not because they're really sorry? Amen? So what God cares about is not so much that we could cry tears. That can be really healthy and even redemptive. But what really matters to God is what's going on right here. Is it genuine? Is it, Lord, I'm sorry? Or even as Daniel confessed sin that, you know, he was a very righteous man, but he confessed the sins of his nation, and he said, I've sinned. In verse 3 of Judges 21, they said, why, Yahweh, why, O Lord, God of Israel, has this come about in our nation, they might say, in Israel? So that one tribe, that is Benjamin, should be missing today in Israel. Oh, Lord, why? Now, what's occurred is a civil war. We had a civil war in the United States of America. That civil war was over the issue of slavery. And many people died in that war. And it was U.S. against U.S. And slavery was a blight to the nation, and it needed to be corrected. And a war was fought over it, and thousands of people died in our country. And Lincoln tried to bring the country together after that war, and it was said of Lincoln that he was this amazing combination of velvet and steel. He could be very soft when it was needed and very tough when it was needed. And he had the job as a president of a country to try to bring the country back together after a civil war. That's not an easy job. But that's where leadership is critical, right? Because you could have a civil war in a nation over a very important issue. And I would say if you go back in time to this issue, this was an important issue. People needed to be angry about this. But how do you pick up the pieces after that? What do you do when, you know, thousands of people have died who are your kin, part of your country, one of the tribes of Israel? Now what? And they said with tears, why? I could take you to many scriptures where Bible writers, especially in the Psalms, say, why, O Lord? My God, Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? I think it's okay for us to ask why, but also, when we're asking why, perhaps to take some personal inventory, like, okay, Lord, what would you say to me? Jesus quotes Psalm 22 as he's dying on the cross, as you know. And so the Israelites are reeling. There's regret. There's mourning. And they're specifically concerned about this tribe of Benjamin. And so they sit before the Lord and they cry out to the Lord, and they ask questions of the Lord. Their motivation is in question. I don't know exactly, you know, it was a big group of people. So I don't know what everybody's motive was there, just like I don't know where everybody's at in a church. You know, I can't tell. God knows every heart, but I don't. But Israel as a nation, their name, Israel, means governed by God, or James Montgomery Boyce, who's gone home to be with the Lord, said he believes Israel means God prevails. And so, was God prevailing in the nation? No. Everyone was doing what was right in his or her own eyes. And so that was the problem. And so God's standards had been left behind. This one writer says, blaming God for trouble we have brought on ourselves is an age-old strategy. But it never works because God cannot be fooled. If healing is to happen at all, it must begin with us taking responsibility for our own actions. God can see right through the implied blame shifting of the Israelites. And if they have indeed done that, he is unmoved by their tears. And this writer goes on to say, they will get no answer from him. There's no specific prophecy or direction given here by the Lord. And it came about the next day, four, that the people arose early and built an altar there, which is good, right? A place of worship, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So this seems to be really good. And then the sons of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up in the assembly of the Lord? So now they're asking, when we all met on that day and we decided, we took an oath not to give our daughters to Benjamin and we decided to go to war, was there anybody who didn't show up? Any of the towns, any of the people of Israel? And this seems to be them, not the direction of the Lord. They've done the religious things by weeping and offering sacrifice, but I don't think they're being led by the Lord. And they ask, they said, well, who didn't show up? Who did not come up to the assembly there at Mizpah? For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up. They took a couple oaths. One, they wouldn't give their daughters to marry Benjamites. And two, they committed to one another, apparently in that same spot before the war, that if anybody from the different towns didn't come up, they should die. In other words, if they didn't have the moral outrage to step up and fight, then they should die. And we're going to go look for them after we deal with Benjamin. And they made a couple of oaths. And the Bible has a lot to say about oaths. And what I would say, if you've studied New Testament teaching on the oath, Jesus talked about the oaths in Matthew 5. And he said, look, don't make an oath. You don't need to do that. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And James, in James 5, verse 12, says don't swear at all. Now, there's probably a place for an oath. We know in a court of law, when you get married, you can take an oath. But when you take an oath, you should be serious about what you have to say. And even in the Torah, in the Old Testament, there was a provision. If you made a silly oath, there was a way that you could get out of that. God didn't want to hold you to something silly, right? And so I would just say to you, this is a very much a side note. Don't make any silly oaths. Don't make the big, you know, to-do when you don't have to. Don't box yourself in. Don't corner yourself in. Don't proclaim that you'll start your diet tomorrow. At least don't use the name of the Lord when you do. Amen? Nobody else on the diet? Okay, anyway. All right. So, two things. We won't give our daughters to Benjamin. Anybody that didn't show for the war should die. That's the end of verse 5. Anybody that didn't come up to Mizpah shall surely be put to death. And the sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin. This is post-war now. And they said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who are left? Now, 600 soldiers had gotten away. And we have learned that they have escaped to the rock of Rimmon, if you remember, and they were hiding there. They had gotten away and were not killed. And so there were some survivors. And the people, after lamenting over the situation, they realized that the Benjamites have all died. They've all been wiped out. And since they made a vow that they wouldn't give their daughters to marry Benjamite men, where would the wives come from? Either these men would have to stay single or they'd have to marry a foreigner. And thus they felt like they would lose the tribe. So what were they to do? So they felt some sorrow, maybe some compassion for their brother, that is the tribe of Benjamin. And they said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives of those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage? 8. And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah? Now they go back to that second vow. And behold, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh Gilead, that's a town east of the Jordan, to the assembly. For when the people were numbered, they had gone through and they were numbering the people from the various towns and tribes. Behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. Thus, they could argue that the vow didn't apply to them since they didn't swear the vow because they didn't show up.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder you can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk or maybe you're doing the dishes, anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're already listening on podcast, please do us a favor and spread the word about Walk in Truth. Click that share button and share today's episode. Really appreciate you. God bless.
Hey there. Are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. Thus, they could argue that the vow didn't apply to them since they didn't swear the vow because they didn't show up. So they start to concoct a plan here. They're going to wipe out the people of Jabesh Gilead, but what they're going to do, since these people didn't vow not to give their daughters, is they're going to kill everybody except for virgins, and they're going to steal the virgins away to marry the remaining Benjamite soldiers. What a plan! Now, here's what happens when you do what's right in your own eyes. Have you ever noticed when you start in a sin cycle, and then you try to clean it up with your own ideas and devices, you just make things worse. Well, I swore an oath, so we can't give our daughters to them. Well, why'd you swear that oath in the first place? Was that spirit-led? Why'd you swear an oath that you would kill the people who didn't show up at Mizpah? Was that spirit-led? And so it starts to kind of snowball when you do this kind of stuff, right? You start to make promises that you don't need to make or oaths that you don't need to make. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in trouble and you're kind of weaving your own web here that you get stuck in. I'm sure you've never done that before. And so here's what they said. When they numbered the people, Jabesh Gilead wasn't there. So the congregation, verse 10, sent 12,000. Now, this is the nation of Israel. Of the valiant warriors there, commanded them and said, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, the place that didn't show up for the battle, with the edge of the sword, and notice this, with women and the little ones. They said, wipe out everybody, wipe out women and children. Now this is one, again, the nation against another part of their own nation. And God did not endorse this. God did not say for them to do this. But off they went, and they decide they're going to basically wipe out this whole area. And it was all unnecessary bloodshed based upon silly, rash vows. And this is the thing that you shall do. Now they're giving instruction to the warriors. You shall utterly destroy every man, every woman who has lain with a man, so if she's not a virgin. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. And they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is the land of Israel, but sometimes it's called the land of Canaan here. And then the whole congregation sent word and spoke to the sons of Benjamin, these warriors now who had been hiding that survived the war, who were at the rock of Ramon, and proclaimed peace to them. They said, "Ali, ali, oxen free. Come out, wherever you are. Not only are we going to proclaim peace to you, but we got some women for you." And so now there's 600 soldiers and 400 virgins that they got from Jabesh Gilead only after killing everybody else. And whenever we use our own wisdom to try to fix another problem, we cause more problems, and our plans always fall short of where they need to be. Amen? Your wisdom, my wisdom, is never going to make it. And they're 200 short, but they think, hey, we're chipping away. We got two-thirds of these guys covered. And you think, this is nuts, Pastor Michael. Yeah, but this is the Bible. And the Bible doesn't hide the moral deficiencies even of its heroes. And so this is what they do. They've got these 400 women. They're basically prisoners of war. They've killed their families. And they go up to Shiloh, to a place of worship. And they tell the remaining Benjamites, because they're trying to spare the tribe, but they've caused all their own problems. They proclaim peace. And so Benjamin, that is the 600 warriors, returned at that time. They said, oh, good, they're not going to destroy us. They feel bad. And so they gave them the women. Here you go. We're not going to kill you, and here's some ladies. And so they gave them the women of Jabesh Gilead, yet they were not enough for them. Now, I don't know how that worked. I don't know, how you figure out who gets a wife and who does not. If you got to pick a number and you hope you're not 401 or 532, you know what I'm saying? Because you ain't going to get a lady. But however they did it, these women were there, and 400 of the warriors from Benjamin, they're not killed, and they get a wife. And I don't know how you feel about fixed marriages, but if I picked that number, I would be praying. Can I get a witness? Anyway, I think you guys can fill in the blanks there. Right. Oh, Lord, may number 333 be pretty in Yahweh's name. Thank you, Brother Bert. But they were not enough. Their own plans fall short, so will ours. We must walk in the wisdom of God. And the people were sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Let me read a little paragraph from one author. The Lord allowed them to slaughter each other, although he does not command total annihilation. I want to just give you a peek at chapter 20, verse 48, so you can see that the Bible does say this. It says, the last verse of chapter 20, the men of Israel then turned back against the sons of Benjamin and struck them with the edge of the sword, both the entire city with the cattle. That's actually not the verse I was looking for. It's verse 35. It says, the Lord struck Benjamin before Israel. But you can see in that verse, it's about the war, and specifically the 25,100 men of Benjamin are registered there. Verse 48 is their own addition they go back and they destroy everybody else except for those 600. And so here's what the writer goes on to say. He says, when God's ways are rejected and his authority dismissed, chaos is inevitable. God is not indifferent about genocide, rape, and abusive treatment of women. God is also repulsed by Torah-twisting, blame-shifting, loophole-seeking, and foolish swearing. That is why God, as the ultimate judge, often brings justice, this is very important to hear, by allowing people to reap what they sow. That is also why God here makes a gap in the tribes of Israel. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap.
You've been listening to Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 21. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lantz. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
You know, the last chapter of Judges 21 is in many ways a reflection of regret and the fallout of bad decision making. And so the question becomes, okay, if that's what happens, how do I avoid rash decisions and the consequences that go with it? How can I be a little bit more deliberate and wise about how I live so I don't have to live with a bunch of regret? We all probably have a measure of regret, but we want to try to avoid that as much as possible. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I want you to think about that for a second. In everything you do, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Say, Lord, if you call Jesus Lord, that means he dictates your path. You put the word Lord, Adon in the Hebrew, really means the first judge in the picture language. Here's what this means. It means when I'm going to make a decision, he's the first one I run it by. He's the first judge of should I or should I not? Should I move in this direction? Should I not? The king and the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, which we seek first, he's the first judge. Remember that. Adon, Lord, dictates the decision-making. And if he's in your decision-making at that early stage, then you will avoid making rash, hurtful decisions. Are you with me? You build on the right foundation. You get him, get things before him early in the game. And that's the key to the whole thing. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his path. And it'll all work out for the glory of God and for your good. This is Pastor Michael Lantz, and you're listening to Walk in Truth as we have been walking through the final chapter of the book of Judges. And it's been a wonderful time to share together. I pray you've been blessed. Hey, if you want to reach out to us, you can connect with us through the website, which is walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com. So grateful for each of you who pray for us and partner with us. You can donate to this ministry to help pay for radio airtime, which can be quite expensive, and to help keep us on the air in your area and even venture out into new opportunities that we do have before us right now. But we need more monthly partners. Walkintruth.com. Click on that donate button and join us in partnering with the great mission of reaching out with God's truth to all people. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21 called Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Do you know you live right now as a believer under the head of the King, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ? He's the ultimate King. He succeeds where all other earthly kings have failed. He succeeds where all of us have failed. He died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice. He rose from the dead just as he promised. And he now reigns in heaven. The kingdom of God is being built. One day we will experience the fullness of the kingdom. And God has brought the answer through Israel, a largely failed nation, right? But he brought the promise nonetheless. He brought it to us, a largely failed people. And by him, we are healed. Amen.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.